jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hip it, the hip hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
That's a wrap. It's 8:40 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I got a couple of friends here in studio. A long ago friend, actually, is one person joining us for the very first time, Bob West, who used to have his own theme song on the station,
sure,
the Batman theme song adapted for him. Na 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 na. Bob West. That's right. And he used to be the Pensacola chief water safety chief for Escambia County,
but Island Authority, yes.
Yeah, but was. Before Dave Greenwood, he was basically Dave's mentor, and before paramedic.
Dave was lifeguard out there, then Island Authority created a position, and they hired me in, so I came in as Dave's boss, and then I left, and Dave came back. So it's
very good. Good to have you, Bob. And also, John Peacock, a repeat offender, so good to have him.
Glad to be here, Andrew and Candy, and always good to see you, Bob. Bob and I, Bob was out there on the beach when I was on the Santa Rosa Island Authority, so Bob always did a great job. And
excellent.
Really enjoyed working with Bob.
Just get a little closer to the mic so they can hear the perfect. So let's start with this. A question in your area of expertise, Bob, something that Commissioner Bergosh has been very active at trying to increase public access out on Perdido Key. A citizen discovered that there was this 75 feet of public access out at the waterline. He, of course, got, public access four open, and he's been very much an advocate for having people out there. The byproduct of that now is that you have potentially some county responsibility for the safety. I mean, if you put people out on the beach, let's have their safety. And he says, well, let's get lifeguards out there. Let's get a stand out there. Let's get maybe trucks or ATVs or whatever we need to have out there. What I keep asking, and I know, Wes Moreno, the county administrator, has said, we're budgeting toward this. We're going to create this. So I have two questions. One is, it's hard to get enough lifeguards to patrol what we've already got. And then just general feasibility, that's a really big add-on, in my opinion, to what we already do. What's your kind of assessment of the feasibility of staffing lifeguards out on Perdido?
Well, that's great, especially when you talk about this time of year and the storm that may be coming.
Yeah.
On I think it was Tuesday at Pensacola Beach, there were four lifeguards for 8 miles.
Wow.
College is back in, high school's back in. The lifeguards are just not there. They're hard. This time of year, I used to lose what little bit of hair I had left. This time of year, it's impossible to find staff. So when you say just add lifeguards to Perdido Key, well, yeah, it's just not that quite that easy. Now, I will tell you this, though, I very much support that. That's why we joined with the National Park Service to provide lifeguards out on Johnson's Beach.
Right.
If you have a response and you can get there just a little bit quicker, and literally in that world, it's a minute or two. So if you can get there quicker and you can save a life, I'm all for that. I think the strip of public access makes a huge difference. That public parking lot makes a huge difference. Yeah, I'd like to see it happen.
Yeah, and I'm the same. I think it's a great goal. I certainly support the goal. My only question is, it's one thing to say, well, we need more cops, we need more firefighters, we need more we need more ambulances, we need more lifeguards. And, what I know is, well, we all share the goal. But how? where are the bodies to be able to accomplish that? And especially, as you said, lifeguards, especially at this time of year outside of the, the hot season, that's a challenge, John.
Yeah, to me, it comes down to the function of those amenities, right? We have some amazing resources here in Escambia County, both Perdido and Pensacola Beach, but there's no overall, what's the purpose of that? The purpose to me is obviously as an amenity for our citizens and tourists, but really as an economic generator, right?
Yeah.
So if we're going to use it as an economic generator, we need to invest accordingly in both infrastructure and lifeguards and those kind of things and generate revenue for the rest of our community.
Right.
But there's no overarching plan, and that's the frustrating thing with me. That's true everywhere in Escambia County. There's just no plan, and this is a perfect example, another one. Let's just throw lifeguards out there. Well, for what purpose? I mean, if we got to be able to pay for them, for one. We have to use those resources effectively and efficiently, but it should be for the overall purpose of generating more economic activity for our entire community.
Right. And, the other sort of just generally in this vicinity you have is the traffic congestion that causes problems. And look, we're out of the big busy season right now on Pensacola Beach, also down on Guards. But Perdido is still, 2 weeks ago when we drove through there at 4 o'clock on a Saturday, you couldn't get there from here. I mean, the roundabout, everybody knows it's a catastrophe. It's just, and I don't know what the answer is because you don't have enough real estate to really do any of the smart solutions. So now you're trying to figure out a bad solution for a difficult problem, and that's effect. I mean, if you needed to get first responders in and out, you know, I mean, I know some's already out there, but that's a challenge, right?
Yeah, another perfect example, right? Pensacola Beach also, that's one of our biggest economic generators, but people often don't go out there during the peak season because they, or if they do,
we never do. My family, we never go to the beach weekends in the summer because we're like, why would we do that?
I asked some of the hoteliers out there, what do they tell their tourists when they say, what else is there to do other than the beach? And they say, going downtown. They say, I'm not going downtown because I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get back.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right? Because that's more economic activity. You know, we live off of sales taxes here in Escambia County. And if those people are going east or west because they don't want to come back into town, that's, we're losing a lot of revenue, right? So again, the easy solution is parking garages, those kind of things on Pensacola Beach. There is the real estate there. I mean, heck, Casino Beach is a big asphalt desert. There's no reason, or Casino Beach parking lot.
Right.
No reason why it can't go higher. People say, oh, it's going to block the view. You can't see the dang view, right? If you had a 2 or 3 story garage there with murals, et cetera, and you got rid of the toll booths and have people come in, pay to park, you can have trolleys run up and back and forth. We don't use those amenities near well.
You lost me at pay to park, by the way, but yeah. You know, that's
everywhere on the planet is pay to park, Andrew. You can't go anywhere in the world.
What I love about Pensacola Beach. I love that it's the only beach in the world where you can go and park.
I love user fees, right? So it's either that or raise your taxes, right? User fees are great because that means other people get to help us pay for the amenities we enjoy every day. Right?
Well, the one thing I will say is, you know, I think Commissioner Bender's actually done a really good job of making the traffic better, but there's a lot more work, and we've got more people. We've got more people, and so how do you solve that problem?
There's only so much property. You can only I don't know about parking garages. We may disagree with them because, of course, a lot of the year they wouldn't be used. There's security issues. There's maintenance issues. Anything in the salt water just gets destroyed. So I don't know. I would it's kind of like lifeguards. Yeah, there's still a parking garage. Well, it ain't that easy. There's a lot of
like a clear solution, but when you get into the, as you say, the disadvantages of the details.
Oh, and my dad would say, there's a lot of legs on that spider.
I love that. That's good. 8:47, got Bob West and John Peacock in for the wrap. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. As we take a look around this morning, we're watching something at 90 and Woodbine in Pace. Now, both lanes of Woodbine southbound closed, and they're directing traffic through the Waffle House and the gas station right there on the corner. Another accident this morning, and it is Fairfield and North Pace Boulevard. There's a partial roadblock in that area. And, of course, you want to watch out for that area anyway because it's down to one lane. They're doing construction on that side of the road on Fairfield right after that intersection. Traffic tips, 437-1620. Again, this brought to you by Knox Pest Control. That's KNOX. And Knox knocks them out. You can find their family serving your family since 1929. For more info on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. 437-1620 if you have a traffic tip. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So we found out Michelle Salzman, Representative Salzman, just filed a bill, I think yesterday, again attempting to put in term limits for county commissioners. Now, this would not go into effect until it's approved by the voters. It has to pass the legislature, get signed by the governor, and then I think they have to get signed by the governor. I'm sure it does. Anyway, and then it goes on the ballot, and then, 60% have to pass it, and then it would go into place. So, theoretically, somebody like Commissioner May, okay, for example, if he wins re-election next time, and assuming he wants to run, there's no reason to think he wouldn't because 90% last time, he would still be eligible to be commissioner for 2 full terms after that. So it wouldn't actually take effect until 2032. I know some people are thinking, man, this is the grand solution. I'm like, well, is your issue in general with long terms, or is your issue with these commissioners? Because this proposal will not particularly solve for these commissioners.
Yeah, I agree. And certainly it will help long term. But at the end of the day, the structure is what's difficult, right? We have a structure in which you can only vote for 1 of 5. So your vote really doesn't count, but it doesn't matter.
Because of the results of the lawsuit and the, you know.
Right, you can't affect change with your vote. My commissioner could be the greatest commissioner in the world, but 3 other people I can't vote for can do kind of silly things and upset me and upset the way the county works, but I can't do anything about it. So it's a system that kind of protects the commissioners, if you will. It's in theory supposed to kind of mitigate corruption, but at the end of the day, it was also because the lawsuit is supposed to give the African-American community representation.
Three,
so
right.
It gave them representation, but look at the stats, Andrew. Their lives, their socioeconomic lives, have not changed significantly in the 50, 60 years since that lawsuit. So while we gave them representation, we didn't have any benefit from that, right? They didn't improve the way it was intended.
And
right.
and the, you know, look, all you've got to have is 3, right? So
right.
The other 40% of the county residents, if you happen to live in a district that's represented by anybody who's not in Stephen Berry, Lumen May, or right. Jeff Bergosh's district, what power do you have?
Right.
Your power is, well, we hope we find something that they agree with, because otherwise it's a lock vote and you can't do anything about it.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And what? And I would agree. Term limits? Absolutely. And I would truthfully kind of like to see at large. Because each little fiefdom is just not working.
Well, the at large thing's tough because of the lawsuit, right? But that's why we changed the former government in the city, right? The city was at large, too, or district only, and then a couple at large. But you still can only vote for a minority amount of the total council members. So we changed it. So now there's a strong mayor. And every 4 years, we get to judge that mayor on whether or not they've done what we asked them to do, right? Or what they said they were going to do. So we need that same kind of control in the county.
And, you know, what's interesting is, of course, right across the water, you have Santa Rosa County, where it is all at-large districts. Mm-hmm. The only requirement is that you live in your particular district, but everybody votes for everybody. And for a while, I would say when I first – I've lived here 9 years. For the first 7 or so years, you definitely had a more genial, you know, more smooth county commission that seemed to run – it did seem to prove the point of, you know, doing it this way makes for a smoother functioning government. Well, then we had some things change in this last election, and all of a sudden you find out that that's no guarantee either.
Their only county can make us look good. So, you know, the truth of the matter is, Andrew, leaders want to lead, right? There are people out there that would love to step up and lead, but leaders don't want to be one of five.
Right.
True leaders want to lead. They want to mess things up their way, right? And they want to be judged accordingly. They want to lay out a plan. They want to run on that plan. They want to work that plan and then be judged on that plan. So true leaders want to lead. But if we created a system like we did in the county, I don't think Ashton or D.C. would have ran for this office. And I know I talked to Joe Riley, the former 40-year mayor of Charleston, asked him if he ever would have run for that office if it wasn't a true, strong mayor, former governor. And he said, absolutely not.
Right.
And he did incredible things in Charleston. Ashton did. D.C.'s doing some great things now. So I think it's amazing that when you create a leadership position, good, true leaders will rise up and run.
And that's a good point to back to our, you know, the Escambia County Commission is, you know, who's going to get in the mud and run in District 1? I mean, who's going to be willing to run against the money sloshing and the accountability lack of District 5 that lives there? You know, you got to live there, right? Who's going to make these choices? And District 3 is, I mean, you know, it's you. Who's going to beat Lumen May in District 3? Yeah. You know, like, it just doesn't seem possible based on the previous returns.
And unfortunately,
so good people don't want to go through this, which is, that's not just a unique problem here. That's a problem at the federal level, congressional level. That's a problem just across the board is who wants to endure all this, right?
And unfortunately, most of our commissioner, our community thinks the job of a commissioner is to make sure their potholes are fixed and their trash is picked up and all those kind of things. And unfortunately, there's no leadership. There's nobody in charge to move our community forward. So we continue to be one of the poorest counties in Florida, and we shouldn't be. We have incredible resources here, incredible philanthropy, incredible business owners, but we continue to be one of the poorest counties in Florida.
Well, and now we've got the Escambia Children's Trust in place to try to the theory about which was to take some long-term view, help the kids, and prepare us for a much better future. And all of a sudden, I mean, this is a year in, and we got the executive director is quitting because she didn't like the way the mayor, I guess, talked about, you know, the staff kind of failing in their deal. And, you know, people are frustrated because it's a significant chunk of money we pay. Sure, and what are we getting for it except that they've apparently got a lot of money to spend? And where's the results, right?
Well, that's kind of my rub. When you looked at that initial, especially the initial list, I mean, money being sent back to the city, back to the county, back to the sheriff.
Pre-existing,
we already fund them. We taxed tax dollars. This is just, and the outcome measures. I mean, I'm a big outcome measurement kind of guy.
Right.
So I hope it's just not, we got all this money, we spent all this money, so we must have done well. So I hope it doesn't work out that way.
I hope too. I mean, I'm still, you know, optimistic that it could make a difference. But, you know, you got to show me the results.
Oh, exactly. And these kids need so much right now. I mean, I mentor in the elementary schools, and the students are struggling.
Yeah.
That's an awful lot of money that perhaps could have been maybe used to help them read and write, which is just, staggering right now.
That's an example. The citizens, though, decided that those things that, in my opinion, government should be responsible for weren't getting done. So let's tax ourselves to try and make that happen.
Right.
Instead of saying, hey, county officials, you guys should be responsible for making sure we're getting good K-3 or 0-3 education, right? We only have 67% of our kids showing up ready for school, and we keep blaming the school board. That's not a good thing, right? It's really our community's job.
The school board.
It's not the school board's job to make sure the kids get ready for school, only when they get there. But if only 67% of kids are ready, whose job is that? Well, it's ours as a community, right, to make sure those 0-3 are getting their education. And we have some elected officials say it's fatherless homes. That's not the root cause. That's a symptom. right? The root cause is generational poverty, and we do nothing about it, right? And when's the last time you heard a county commissioner talk about economic development other than if you create a bunch of raw land out at OL of 8, somehow jobs are going to appear? If that were true, we'd have a billion jobs in Iowa, right? I mean, there's a lot of raw land out there. Yeah. Raw
land, Santa Rosa seems to be doing this okay.
Yeah, raw land by itself doesn't create jobs, right? It's a sense of place.
Bob, I know you're particularly passionate about development, failure plan for development, the impact on infrastructure, this new 330 homes proposed at the very east end of Kingsfield down a two-lane road behind everything else that already exists. We're going to take a quick break and get traffic. We'll come back and talk about this. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right. Looks like Woodbine and 90 has been cleared and moved off to the side, so you shouldn't have any problem getting around that area. But watching another area, this is in Milton, still in Santa Rosa County, Richardson and Hamilton Bridge Road showing a roadblock, and it is blocked in both directions on Hamilton Bridge Road. If you have traffic tips, text them in if you could, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. So there's, what is it, 500, 800, I forget the number of units for the new apartment complex just north of Perdido Key over the, you know, on the mainland side of the bridge. You got the citizens, you know, showed up with their torches and pitchforks and stopped the big Molino development, but they've only stopped it temporarily. That's definitely coming back in a slightly less offensive form. Okay. You got the Kingsfield 330 proposed there. Every time I look at the county commission agenda, there's subdivision approved here, plats approved there. Infill like the one off of Creighton where they're just throwing a bunch of homes in behind there. And I'm thinking somebody somewhere has got to say, let's be smart about this. That's what the We Are Perdido movement is all about, is let's create some planning for some smart growth. Why is this slice of the – and this is not unique to us. Santa Rosa, same challenge. Why are we so incompetent at planning for development?
Well, the problem is they plan and plan and plan. There's notebooks full of plans. Nobody executes. Out on that new project on Kingsfield, two-lane road, they just finished spending a lot of money putting sidewalks down both sides of Kempstown.
It's beautiful.
But you have to widen the road, so you got to tear it all back out. So, I mean, so who thought about spending all this money just so we can do it later? They're already right now waiting to put in, 180 apartments just north of Gulf Winds there on Kempstrand. It's already been approved. So already they got to put in turn lanes. So why are you wasting the money like this? I just don't understand it. Why? Because it's tax dollars, not their money. If you or I were doing it,
great point.
We would do it a lot wiser.
Yeah, great point. Bob.
We'd do it a lot wiser. I mean, that's why. So
again, there's no overall accountability, right? You know, you don't live up there, right? So you can't affect change by doing that. That's why we really need somebody that has the responsibility each and every day to our citizens to wake up and say, my job is to move our community forward. Now, that's not a knock on guys like West Marino. West Marino is a great administrator. But he's an administrator, not a leader, right? In terms of
he doesn't have the power to lead.
Right, that's what I mean. He does not have the power. He's got a job to execute by the board, and the board is all very myopically focused on, one, getting reelected, and two, on the very specific things like, how do I get these developments done? Instead of looking to the overall county as an economic development opportunity.
I will say this. I see signs of hope to a degree, and that's, you know, Stephen Barry.
Term limits? Is
that? Well, no, that's a long way off. That's farther away.
That's the signs of hope.
Signs of hope in Stephen Barry?
Yeah, hear me out. What he has said recently is that they want to put development, you know, just because you satisfy the future land use in the LDC and the zoning, that doesn't necessarily mean you get a rubber stamp. And there's a part of me that hates that because I don't want these guys injecting the personal approval parade in order to get people their deals. But at least they seem to start to be willing to say pause, maybe, if not outright no. I frankly I wonder if they're not scared. I wonder if they're not realizing that people are really fed up with the impact this is having on quality of life, the failure to properly plan and think about this stuff. And, you know, they're thinking re-election is next year. If people are angry and we don't do anything, so I don't know. I have a little sliver of hope.
Well, the EMS system can barely handle the call load now.
Now.
And so you're going to throw another 350 houses. Well, they're going to need an ambulance out there sooner or later.
Yeah.
Where's it going to come from?
Agreed. Those are the other issues, too. I mean, we're hiring more when we can, and we're training more when we can, but we're not doing it fast enough either. Bob.